Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, I like this time of year because, folks, just as we saw last week, if we didn't have the flag, we wouldn't have the cross.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing. We are a Christian Judeo nation. And all the reformers today are trying to tell us, oh, no, that's not the case. Never was intended. So today, folks, my sermon is not my sermon. It is the views of our founding fathers about Jesus Christ and his church.
Amen.
And I want you to really listen to this today. I tried to get more copies printed, but my computer died after I got everything done. So it's just me, but I'll speak slowly. All right, let's start with George Washington, the first president of the United States. Here's what he had to say. While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, we certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of a Christian. Now tell me that man doesn't believe.
He knew the Lord.
John Adams, second president of the United States. Now I will avow that I believe and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and attributes of God. President Adams, don't hold back. How do you really feel? And that those principles of liberty are as unalterable as human nature and our terrestrial mundane system. This is from a letter that Adams wrote to Thomas Jefferson on June 28, 1813. Well, since I brought up Thomas Jefferson, let's hear what he had to say. Oh, separation of church and state. Jefferson was no Christian. You heard that before? I hear it all the time on the news, the pundits. God, who gave us life and liberty, and can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated, but with his wrath indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep forever. Separation of church and state, the man who doesn't believe. You ever heard any of this stuff before? Isn't that sad? Notes on the State of Virginia, page 237. And he also added this. I am a real Christian. That is to say, a disciple of the doctrines of Jesus Christ. I read this stuff. I read them all the time, you know. And I make notes on this. I pulled this up 10 years ago. I read these kind of things and it tells me, you know, we are a Christian nation. The founding fathers had faith in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
John Hancock, you know, on the Declaration of Independence, big name, okay? First signer of the Declaration of Independence. Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend these rights which heaven gave, and no man ought to take from us. This is from the History of the United States, volume 2, page 229. Benjamin Franklin. I hear all this stuff about Benjamin Franklin today, how he liked women, all this other stuff. Never heard that he was a Christian, have you? In fact, he was once called the Great Atheist. Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. And to Jesus of Nazareth, my opinion of whom you particularly desire, I think the system of morals and his religion, as he left them to us, is the best the world has ever seen, or is likely to see. Samuel Adams, like his beard though. And as it is our duty to extend our wishes to the happiness of the great family of man, I conceive that we cannot better express ourselves than by humbly supplicating the supreme ruler of the world, and that the rod of tyrants may be broken to pieces, and the oppressed made free again, that wars may cease in all the earth, and that the confusions that are and have been among nations may be overruled by promoting and speedily bringing on that holy and happy period when the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, may be everywhere established, and all the people everywhere willingly bow to the scepter of him who is the Prince of Peace. Now listen to this. He wrote this as governor of Massachusetts on the proclamation of a day of fast for Jesus Christ, March 20th, 1797. A proclamation for the state of Massachusetts, a secular state, of fasting for Jesus Christ. Now convince me these people are Christians. John Quincy Adams, 6th president of James Madison, wrote the Constitution. A watchful eye must be kept on ourselves, lest while we are building ideal monuments of renown and bliss here, we neglect to have our names enrolled in the annals of heaven. Written to William Bradford, and written in a book called Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. Is that how you pronounce it? He wrote the Left Behind series. This stuff is all out there. And I think it's that. All right, now John Quincy Adams. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Never since the foundation of the world have the prospects of mankind been more encouraging to that hope than they appear to be at the present time. And may the associated distribution of the Bible proceed and prosper till the Lord shall have made bare his holy arms in the eyes of the nation, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 52:10. President of the United States, written while in office. William Penn, first person to come up with religious freedom. I do declare to the whole world that we believe the Scriptures to contain a declaration of the mind and will of God in and to those ages in which they were written, being given forth by the Holy Ghost moving in the hearts of holy men of God, that they ought also to be read, believed, and fulfilled in our day, being used for reproof and instruction, that the man of God may be perfect. They are a declaration and testimony of heavenly things themselves, and as such, we carry a high respect for them. We accept them as the words of God himself. Why don't we know this? Because it's not politically correct today. I'm going to read one more. This is by Roger Sherman, signer of the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution. During the Revolutionary War, he lost, he was multimillionaire, lost everything to give to the revolution. Ended up a pauper. Here's what he had to write. I believe that there is one only living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. That the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are a revelation from God and a complete rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. That God has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass, so as thereby He is not the author or approver of sin. That He creates all things and preserves and governs all creatures and all their actions in a manner perfectly consistent with the freedom of will and moral arguments, moral agents, and the usefulness of means. That He made man at first perfectly holy. That the first man sinned, and as he was the public head of his posterity, they all became sinners in consequence of this first transgression. Are wholly indisposed to that which is good and inclined to evil, and on account of sin are liable to all the miseries of this life, to death and to the pains of death forever. But I believe that God, having elected some of mankind to eternal life, did send His own Son to become man, die in the room, instead of sinners, and thus to lay a foundation for the offer of pardon and salvation to all mankind, so as all may be saved who are willing to accept the offer of the gospel. Also by His special grace and Spirit, to regenerate, sanctify, and enable to persevere in holiness all who shall be saved, and to procure in consequence of their repentance and faith in Himself, their justification by virtue of His atonement as the only meritorious cause. Men in public life, men who were the leader of our country, men who believe. You know, it's a good day we have rain today. We plow the fields and scatter the good seed on the land. But it is fed and watered by God's almighty hand. Isn't that beautiful? You know who wrote? Well, it's out of the Bible. But of all people, Leonard Bernstein, when he wrote his Mass, nice Jewish boy. That's what it starts with. All good things around us. All good things from heaven. Folks, I can't make up this stuff. It's beautiful, isn't it? That these men, 250 years ago, can talk to us today. Are they right? Of course they are. But they believe in God, which is the least we can do to them. May these men lead us to a closer understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.